There are certainly enemies of evolution that are out there. You know one of the biggest? Science. It's been 160 years since Darwin's On the Origin of Species. Now that's what gave us the concept of macroevolution. Well, what's been the result? Well, for a long time, it has been taught in nearly every school and every university around the world. And not so much as just a theory or an idea. I mean, it's almost taught as fact, as dogma. And many consider, if you think anything else, that's ridiculous. Those of us who believe in God and the Bible, oftentimes we're ridiculed. I mean, you may even have heard the argument, well, you have faith, but we have science. Now, wait a second. Did you know that there's growing uneasiness and even anxiety among many scientists? Many scientists are uneasy at this time because there's a continuing amount of evidence that's piling up against evolution. There are certainly enemies of evolution that are out there. You know one of the biggest? Science. Science. I mean, after all, is life the result of blind chance? Is it just happenstance, just a coincidence, an accident? Or creation by an intelligent designer and creator? Let me take a typical textbook. Well, it'll tell you that life began in some kind of prehistoric soup. This mix of chemicals somehow came together to form molecules, and then came a simple cell, and that cell then somehow sparked to life. And eventually it led to this prehistoric thing that kind of slithered out of the ooze. Really? I mean, think about that. There are many cracks in the foundation of evolutionary theory. Now, here's one example. One specific example that is a scientific enemy to evolution. It's the concept of planning or foresight. Now, it's a newer discovery. It's revolutionized the fields of biology and chemistry, and it's growing in its evidence that there is planning that's been involved in the makeup of living things. And many scientists are actually recognizing that evidence of a purposeful design, foresight that is in the universe and in life itself. There's a renowned Brazilian chemist named Dr. Marcos Eberlin. Now, he became an enemy of evolution because of his ideas on foresight. Now, listen carefully. He's from Brazil, so listen carefully as he describes the concept of foresight.
The ability to predict, to look at the future, to shape the future. And you have to have a mind to do it. You have to look at the future to see what's going to happen in the future, to realize that a problem will appear sometime in the future. You have to look for what kind of problem this problem is. You have to look for a proper solution. You have to install that solution in advance. So when the problem really happens, the solution must be there, fully operational, ready to go.
Now think about that in relationship to life. The ability to predict and to shape the future and have the proper solution already in place is critical for life. I mean, in his book, Dr. Eberlin wrote that the evidence for foresight and design in nature is growing progressively more apparent as we pursue scientific discovery. It's becoming more obvious. Foresight is a big enemy of evolution. I mean, as you think about that, there must have been thought. There must have been preparation and consideration in advance, planning, in order to produce the ingenious solutions that organisms would need to be equipped with for dealing with all kinds of problems that they'd face. So here's what's important. These solutions had to be already in place before the problems were encountered, If not, what would have happened? I mean, this life wouldn't have survived. I mean, think of an example. One example is the immune system, or even blood clotting for that matter. When you think about it, if you don't have that, I mean, creatures would have died from infection or injury long before they would have had an opportunity to pass on their genes. Wouldn't have happened. So what we see is foresight in design is absolutely fundamental, totally necessary for the very formation of living organisms. There had to be solutions ahead of the problems. Now, that's an important concept to think about. Even logic and reasoning tell us to anticipate and solve problems is characteristic of an intelligent mind. Science is realizing that. It's not present in evolution, is it? Where do you find an example of a mindless, undirected process that anticipates and expects problems and foresees them and then has a solution for them? You see, that requires sophistication. That requires planning. That means you've got to organize all these fine-tuned parts that are all working together right from the start, even before they're necessary. Dr. Eberlin puts it this way.
We look at the water, we look at the position of the Earth in the planet, the DNA, the structure of DNA, the exchange of ribose by deoxyribose, the exchange of thymine by uracil. When we look at the many, many ingenious solutions that we found in the universe and life, we see that this general impression that evolution is more law than the law of gravity, as they used to say.
They still do.
Yeah, it's just a general impression. Yeah. It's an illusion.
Interesting. Evolution, just an impression, an illusion. That's something that fools you. Well, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by an impression or an illusion, because that's what evolution really is. Now, the reality, life points to a great creator. God is the only adequate explanation for the many examples of programming and forethought and planning in our world. Now, planning and foresight is just one enemy of evolution, and there are a multitude of enemies. One is information that rivals that theory. Now, to help you with that, there is another aspect of science that is that enemy of evolution, and it's discussed in our free study aid, Creation or Evolution? Does it really matter what you believe? Now, on page 32 of our study aid, it says this: each species of animal was created and designed to exist and thrive in a particular way. If, as evolution supposes, all life forms had common ancestors and chains of intermediates linking those ancestors, the fossil record should overflow with many such intermediate forms between species. But paleontologists themselves admit it shows no such thing. The information in the fossil record brings into question the theory of evolution. Now, if you'd like to know more, get our study aid. Go online, beyondtoday.tv. Call the number on your screen. You can get your own personal copy so you can dig into the science behind our Creator. I mean, the impression is evolution gives us is that everybody believes it. Anyone that's logical believes in it. But you know what? That's not the case. That is not the case. I was surprised to find a recent Gallup poll. And that poll had some very interesting findings. Here in America, 40% of adults have a strictly creationist view of human origins. That many believe God created them in their present form. Now, that's a very good thing. But still, as you look at the chart, far too many are not educated to the truth. And so it's time for a textbook recall. I mean, there's a major misunderstanding, and that's not only with students, but even science and biology professors know. They think they know how to build life. But do they really? I mean, if they were given all the structures, all the parts that they would need, I mean, it almost seems like they've done it. I mean, have they? Have they done that? James Tour is a professor of chemistry and nanoengineering at Rice University. Now, he and his teaching are certainly enemies of evolution. When it comes to the origin of life, Dr. Tour says we have to look before biology. It's about synthetic organic chemistry. Here's what Dr. Tour says about it.
But we can't even make the simplest bacterium. Anybody who would say something contrary does not know what they are talking about. Show me the demonstration. Nobody has ever done it. And it's not because of lack of effort. It's not because of lack of will. First of all, they haven't been able to get the molecules to do this. And if they could make the molecules, even if we were to give them the molecules, they wouldn't have the information. There would be no inherent information in the DNA. But even if we gave them the DNA in the structure that they wanted, they wouldn't know how to put all the components together because of the sophistication within a cell. The interactomes, meaning that the interacting connectivity between the molecules, the van der Waals interactions, all of these have to be in the right place and in the right order for a cell to function. We don't even know how to define life, let alone knowing how to spark it to begin.
And there are so many things that are just assumed today. And many believe that science has already done it, figured out how to make life. But that's just not the case. Not even the simplest bacterium, a single cell, or anything even close to it. Nothing like that. Even when science is given all the elements and chemicals, they can't do it. It's kind of like the story that you might have heard about the discussion between a scientist and God. The scientist said to God, "Listen, we've decided we don't need you anymore. We can clone people, we can transplant organs, we can do all sorts of things that used to be considered miraculous. I mean, we figured out how to make life like you did, right out of the dust of the ground." Well, God said, "Okay, let's put your knowledge to the test." So the scientist started gathering some dirt. Just about as he was ready to begin, God said, "Well, hang on just a minute, what are you doing?" Scientist said, "Well, I'm gathering some dirt to generate life, just like you did." God said, "Not so fast. You get your own dirt." You see, that's the point. That's the point. Science doesn't know how to make the molecules that are required to assemble a cell, besides knowing how to assemble them. Here's Dr. Tour talking about that fact.
So the Gedanken experiment is this: even if I gave you all the components, even if I gave you all the amino acids, all the protein structures from those amino acids that you wanted, all the lipids in the purity that you wanted, the DNA, the RNA, even in the sequence that you wanted, so I'm even giving you the code. And so now I say, and all the nucleic acids, can you now assemble a cell here in your individual bodies, not in your individual laboratories, not in a prebiotic cesspool, but in your nice laboratory? And the answer is a resounding no. And if anybody claims otherwise, they do not know this area.
He's a pretty intense man, isn't he? But it shows evolution is definitely under attack. The basic premise, it's wrong, it's faulty, it's flawed, it's defective, and it's time for everyone to understand. The most knowledgeable, the greatest minds of our time, the smartest scientists can't explain the origin of life. Now, if you want to understand, if you're looking for understanding, we have a study aid, Creation or Evolution? Does it really matter what you believe? On page 36 of our booklet, it says this, under the category of Can Evolution Explain Life's Complexity? It says a vast amount of other information is readily available. The controversy about evolution is increasing. Why the confusion and contention? Well, simply put, the increasing scientific evidence doesn't fit the model. And evolutionists increasingly are finding themselves on the defensive. I mean, science claims to understand, but does it in fact? I mean, you need to know more. Go to our website, beyondtoday.tv, or call the number on your screen, and we'll send you your free copy of Creation or Evolution. Because when you consider you're faced with the facts, and when science is pressed to reveal the very heart of the matter, there's a little bit different story that's told. Dr. Tour recounts his experience.
Let me tell you what happens in the back room of science. I have had Nobel Prize winners, National Academy members in my office, and I look them in the eye and I say, do you understand evolution of a complex system? Do you understand macroevolution from a chemical perspective? Every chemist has said to me, no.
It's time to admit the obvious. The Earth was formed by a creator God, and that God reveals himself in your Bible. Right at the very beginning, Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God took a handful of dust and he created man in his image. Earth was formed as a home for human beings that were made in God's image. And earth was to be a place where man could grow, where relationships could take place. Relationships between God and man. Relationships between fellow human beings. And it was to thrive. And that is not some random mutation. God uniquely encoded our DNA. And so at the foundation of life, there is a code that is so complex, it defies an unplanned universe of happenstance. From where did that DNA information come? DNA, it is also an enemy of evolution. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a PhD in the philosophy of science from the University of Cambridge. He's an author, philosopher, and he's director of the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute. Listen to Dr. Meyer describe his perspective on how information originates.
So when we see information in a digital form in software, or we see a paragraph in a book, and we trace that information back to its source, we always come to a mind, not a material process. That's part of what we know from our observation of the world around us, that information always arises from an intelligent source.
That's an amazing statement. Information always arises from an intelligent source. Now, if we apply that to biology, science agrees. That information is there. DNA information is the foundation of life. They'll agree on that. But from where did the DNA information come? Happenstance? Chance? Randomness? Undirected material processes? You see, this is critical. It's important to understand information itself is an enemy of evolution. I mean, we have to conclude that the best explanation for the origin of life is also that it's from a mind. Information has to come from a mind. Now, here's Dr. Meyer in an interview on Uncommon Knowledge with Peter Robinson.
From a materialistic evolutionary standpoint, don't have any explanation for the origin of the information that's necessary to build new biological form. And so what I've argued in both Darwin's Doubt and Signature in the Cell is that what we're seeing in life is evidence of the activity of a directing mind in the history of life.
It's interesting. Science can't explain the origin of information. The idea that somehow new genetic information can come from random mutations in the arrangement of the DNA, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because they're basically copy errors. And so many think these mutations, and mutation after mutation after mutation, can somehow form a new organism. I think you can kind of compare that to a computer glitch. Or maybe when your phone glitches and it's just not working right and you've got to restart it. Now, if that were to happen over and over and over again, do you somehow get a better program? Does it work better suddenly because there's been so many glitches? I mean, it doesn't. And from a DNA standpoint, that evolutionary process, it actually prevents the level of complexity that evolutionists claim they can attain. Now, Dr. Tour summarizes that intricacy.
The complexity is so great, and it gets harder every year. So in many ways, we're getting further from understanding origin of life every year. once we understand the greater complexity of the cell.
We're getting further from understanding. As technology has advanced, science is able to understand more and more about DNA and the microbiological world. And new discoveries are being made that are becoming enemies of evolution. Neo-Darwinism is beginning to unravel. And scientists, believers and non-believers, they've concluded that our current explanations are simply not adequate to explain the levels of complexity that we see in our natural world. And of course, when you put that all together, that implies a directing force, a designer who exists and has created all of these things, God. God is directing these processes in His creation. He dictated the natural laws. He caused the proteins to fold in predictable ways, the crystals to form in specific ways, the genes to express themselves in certain ways. That was God doing that. And in fact, in your Bible, it reminds us of that mind behind creation. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it reminds us, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it." God has made it. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. You see, the Bible points to the fact that God created physical laws by which our universe operates. He created the natural laws that life follows and obeys. And the Bible, it tells us our intelligent Creator is the one, and the one that has a plan for you, plan for me, and His creation. We're to be the very children of God. Not just happenstance, not just coincidence. I mean, if you're looking for the right explanation, our study aid can help you find it. Creation or evolution, does it really matter what you believe? It does. It does matter. On page 70 of our study aid, it says this: "Instead of wandering through the chaotic and confused maze of the theory of evolution, we should look to God's Word for assurance. There we find the truth of man's origin. We can discover our own true source of salvation is God, perhaps most of all for our belief in the invisible Creator God. Then we should not doubt the real origin of species." And so get our study aid. Go online, beyondtoday.tv, or call the number on your screen. Get your free copy of Creation or Evolution. Because as you consider that, God gives us the information that we need to get to know Him, to understand His plan and His purpose. In another psalm, Psalm 139, points to that specific explanation. Notice what it says in verse 13 of Psalm 139. It says, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works." You see, when you consider the science even indicates, it's time for a different view, a different perspective, a new approach. In fact, on the program today, we just haven't had time to talk about all the enemies of evolution. Probability. Probability arguments destroy chance as an origin of life. In fact, unlimited time, eons and eons of time that evolutionists proclaim solve their problems, when you study into it, it actually works against the origin of life. One of the things our booklet talks about is oddities in nature. Those weird, strange creatures that are out there that just defy evolution. And then, of course, there's irreducible complexity. That is another enemy of evolution. In fact, if you get our booklet, it will tell you a number of sources. We've got two pages in the middle of the booklet that go through source after source after source that can help you in your studies. And so when we do and we begin to look into it, we find our Earth is unique. An amazing place, our solar system, our universe. It exists to fulfill God's purpose, to fulfill His plan for you and all of mankind. In fact, We recognize man isn't at the center of the universe, but man is at the center of God's plan. I mean, we human beings, we can look out at creation, and with the minds God gave us, we can ask questions about our origin and our purpose. Why was I born? Why do I exist? Well, God has the answer, and that is a key truth. When we focus our mind on the God-centered universe, it changes our perspective. Then we can begin to find that true meaning of what life is all about. So where do you go from here? I mean, the choice is yours. I mean, how do you view the evidence? You can choose to hang on to the thought that, well, there's no creator, we're just the result of blind chance. But you know, I hope you'll investigate. I hope you'll study and really examine all the evidence for a creator. Then you can become an enemy of evolution by believing and upholding the truth. And then if someone insults your conviction, remember what science today is revealing. It's revealing so many flaws in the idea of evolution. I mean, after all, God created science. We have faith and science on our side. And so far beyond the meaningless existence that offered by evolution, God's got something different. God's got an amazing plan, a fantastic future in mind for all of us, if you're willing to accept His calling. So take heart. Let's look forward to the time when the Alliance Against Evolution will ultimately win the battle for truth.
Call now to receive the free booklet offered on today's program, Creation or Evolution? Does it really matter what you believe? People were once offended at the thought of humans coming from animals. These days, however, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution seems to be the only accepted view. But advancements in science are leading more and more experts to question and even come to reject Darwin's theory. Only one source provides the truth about how mankind began and why we were created. That source is the Bible. Order now. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or write to the address shown on your screen. When you order this free study aid, we'll also send you a complimentary one-year subscription to Beyond Today magazine. Beyond Today magazine brings you understanding of today's world and hope for the future. Six times a year, you'll read about current world events in the light of Bible prophecy, as well as practical knowledge to improve your marriage and family. Call today to receive your free booklet, Creation or Evolution? Does it really matter what you believe? And your free one-year subscription to Beyond Today magazine, 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv.